The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock on the First Coast. And this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here live, as usual, as always, in fact, and going to bring you some very interesting information that we like. And if you want some information that you like, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. As you know, not all financial radio shows are created equal. Most of them are just recordings of some thoughts that somebody had along the way for the week, and you have absolutely no input, so you don't really need them. What you need is us. How's that? Radio shows should not be boring, bragging, contain dead air, be political, religious, scripted, or reruns. And this one's not, except an occasional moment like today, when I'm going to talk a little bit about the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, and how it impacts you specifically, and what little it seems we can do about it. But maybe you guys can figure that out if I bring you the info. What are you up to today?
Well, we've got a bunch of stuff. I had a new ETF come across my desk this week. I wanted to talk about that. And, of course, I'll always start it off with the market wrap. And
felt pretty good this week.
Yeah, a good year just got even better.
Mm-hmm.
So the market's kind of shrugged off all the manufactured political turmoil that's been dominating the airwaves since November and surged ahead like markets tend to do. A lot of that, I think, is attributed to the pro-business administration in Washington. And the media just doesn't seem to get that, as many pundits don't as well. But I think we get it. When you have an administration that not only talks about putting people back to work, but actually backs that up with actions and deregulation, it's good for the country, it's good for workers, it's good for the economy, and good for the markets. And I think that's what we're seeing in the market this year.
The Dow markets gained, are smarter than individuals.
Absolutely.
We had that discussion yesterday in the office.
It's funny, a lot of times you'll hear people call the markets dumb, but they tend to know just about everything before it even happens.
You know, when you have a few people around, it's called a committee. A committee is what designed a racehorse, only it came out a camel. But you get hundreds and hundreds and thousands and millions of people together in the market, and their collective wisdom is actually quite astounding.
It really is, and this week proved that. The Dow gained 1%, and that was the worst of all three indexes. The S&P gained 1.4, and the NASDAQ actually surged 2.6%. So what technology slump were we talking about a couple weeks ago?
The one where it took about a one-week nap.
Yeah, and then just back on track right now.
It wasn't exactly Rip Van Winkle in nature.
So both the QQQ, which is the NASDAQ 100, and VGT, which is the Vanguard Technology ETF, are now up over 20% this year.
Now that's astounding.
Absolutely. If you're a style investor, you'll see that growth stocks have been outpacing value stocks this year by a pretty wide margin. And if you prefer to invest in sectors, you'll notice that technology, healthcare, materials, and industrials have been the best performers year to date. In fact, only energy and telecom are down on the year. This week, though, energy was the second biggest gainer outside of technology, so keep your portfolio diversified.
Oh, yeah. It's never more true than when some sectors are rapidly outpacing others.
Definitely. And the U.S. market isn't the only hot market out there. International markets are also having a great year. It seems like the more a country hates Trump, the better their stock market is performing this year. The biggest gainer year
to date, is that cause effect?
At 31.04% is Mexico, while the biggest loser year to date at negative 4.85% is Russia. Go figure. And actually, Russia gained almost 5% this week. It was down about 9 and some change.
You know, sometimes you look ahead and predict, and then something happens, and you just scratch your head and say, is it me?
Yeah, exactly. Who would have thought Mexico? 31%.
But again, that goes right back to your comment. Diversify your portfolios.
Exactly.
You have no idea what next week's going to bring.
So it may have been a good week for stocks, but it was not a good week for economic data. Out of the 19 indicators released, only 5 beat expectations, and 1 was in line, but the rest missed. One report that was a little surprising this week was the NFIB Small Business Optimism Survey. The expectation was for a 104.4, but the actual report came in at 103.6. Now, I have to say that this is still it's still well above the historic average of 96.3, so optimism remains high, but it's not up to the highest mark, which was set in 2005 when it reached 107.4. Inside the report, taxes remain the largest concern for small businesses.
And why would expectations be down a little bit when the problems are taxation related?
Well, that's always the biggest one. The interesting thing was the second and third, which flip-flopped this month.
Mm-hmm. True.
Government red tape came in second, and it was a 6% increase over May.
Yep.
Conversely, quality of labor actually dropped 4% from May to come in third. I think these moves are tied directly with the government's inability to repeal Obamacare.
Exactly right. And, of course, that little piece of information, not the Obamacare piece, but the expectation piece, totally contradicts the little discussion we had yesterday, too.
Yeah, definitely.
It was supposed to be the other way. I'm wondering if some of these people that are coming into the workforce are actually qualified. They've just been discouraged.
Typically, those people, at least according to the national numbers, are already working and have been working.
That's the rumor.
Yeah. It's funny to note that even with a 6% increase this month, government red tape is still far below where it was during the last months of the Obama administration. Oh. One area of concern the economy has seen is retail sales, and the June report didn't help that at all.
My trivia question is about retail.
Oh, okay. For the month, retail sales declined 0.2%, but they were expected to grow 0.1%. Building materials and online sales were the two big gainers, while gas stations and miscellaneous led the declines. And as long as we have this energy slump and oil prices keep dropping, I think I paid $2.09 this week, which is pretty darn good.
Now, if you look at crude, it's rising right now.
It is.
Not that it isn't going to be volatile going forward, but that will reverse itself very shortly if the increase in per barrel oil doesn't stop.
Yeah, and actually that same station I filled up at for $2.09 on midweek was now $2.18, I think. So it is being reflected at the pump as well.
It's range trading at the pump and at the well.
Mm-hmm.
It has been for a long time.
Yep. So all in all, not a bad week. We even saw some movement in commodities like gold and silver, especially towards the end of the week. So if you've been holding those in your portfolio, they've probably been a drag. This week actually helped out a little bit.
Yeah, the strangest thing is what you said about the hits and misses. We're, again, comparing to expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Whose expectations? That's what I want to know.
Those economists.
Yeah, it's very much like federal government budgeting. If you had a budget of $100 billion this year and you got a budget of $108 based on our baseline budgeting formula, for next year and you only get $106, it's a big dramatic cut.
Except that it's still up 6%.
Except for that. It reminds me of the old story of the guy who got home late from work and his wife confronted him and said, "Why are you late?" He says, "Well, I decided to save $2 and not take the bus." And she looked at him and said, "Well, you idiot, you should have saved $20 and not taken a cab." That's government thinking. And we got to get over that if you're ever going to understand what's really going on out there. As I said, my trivia question will be about retail and the changes in retail. People in general, and this is what I've been discerning lately, people are buying smarter. It's not that less stuff is changing hands. It's that people are buying smarter. So sales go down, A, because gasoline's cheaper, that means cheaper electricity and some things like that, but also because they're buying the same goods less expensive. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have open lines. We have answers for questions. No question too easy. In fact, your job out there is to make your host look good. So the easier the question, the better we look.
I like that.
I thought you would. All right, trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Speaking of retail, retail is volatile, cyclical. You know, most of the retail sales at some places come in the Christmas season. Some of them, like gasoline, are tilted more toward the summer driving season. But there's something that seems to be kind of universally popular, and it's called online retailing. And we were just talking about that with respect to Amazon at the break, because Amazon's having job fairs all over the city over the next couple of weeks, and they're going to staff these great big warehouses, and they're becoming huge. But because retailing is seasonal, cyclical, and all those things, if a retail company has 5 months in a row where the sales increase, it's a smashing success. Now, there has been one that had 13 months, which is unheard of. And then along came Amazon. Amazon currently broke the record that it set last month by going on again. Did you see the numbers for Amazon Prime Day?
I did not.
That didn't even count in this, so they're going to break the record again. But I want to know how many consecutive months Amazon's sales have risen. Remember that 13 was the old record, and remember they've beaten it. So we have an open-ended box that starts with a 14. Okay. And it's pretty astounding what they're doing. But that's what I was talking about when I say people are buying smarter than they used to, because they're paying less to get what they want. And that makes retail sales go down in terms of dollars, not in terms of product. So you're going to see more goods being manufactured because it isn't what it seems. That's why you have to be so careful when you're reading the descriptions of what's a hit and what's a miss on the economic scale. And you also got to consider the source of where you're reading these things. Some people will report anything that makes this administration look bad. Others will report the truth or something in between. You never know. Just understand what it is and why we bring it to you.
If you are looking for a job and would like to go to one of those Amazon job fairs, they're hiring a bunch of people. I'm trying to find the exact number, and I don't think this article has it, but there'll be three this week at the Prime Osborne Convention Center. Last week they had one at UNF and at the Legends Center. So this week it looks like if you want to go interview with Amazon, go to the Prime Osborne Convention Center on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. And if you Google that, you can find lots of articles telling you where and when to be, where to show up.
Mm-hmm. And again, one more word on the statistics again. The number of first-time jobless claims was a miss. It was expected to be 245,000. It was 247,000. However, if you look below the numbers, there's an astounding number in there. Unseasonally adjusted, meaning the actual number of filings for the week, was the lowest for that week of the year since 1969.
Wow.
The population of this country in 1969 grew 60% to where it is today, and still less people filed.
Yeah, and those numbers are not indexed for
population growth. It is absolutely astounding how few people are losing jobs right now. That's the takeaway, not that the number of claims was higher than, quote, expected by the experts. You got to know how to read below the headlines. That's the bottom line. All right. This is OJ's big week coming up. He's going to find out if he's going to be freed again.
Okay.
Geraldo thinks he will. Most people hope he won't. But I'm not here to comment on that. I was just thinking about it over the last couple of days because I've been hearing about this coming up. So I'm going to have a little Johnny Cochran moment. The CBO has got to go. Like it?
Not really.
For those of you who don't know, Alan's in there laughing. For those of you who don't know, the Congressional Budget Office, or CBO, originated in the Budget and Accounting Act in 1921 when it was called the Bureau of the Budget. It was changed to CBO in 1974. My personal opinion is because bureau is a very unpopular word because it's part of bureaucracy. Under any name, the CBO is an abject disaster, but it's not their fault. Like most of the problems in D.C., you can place the blame for this one right at the feet of the Congress of the U.S. Almost every problem we have in this country, and a lot of them in the world, can be blamed on Congress. In my opinion, CBO should stand for Congress Blames Others.
That's better.
I thought you might like that. The latest evidence of the inaccuracy of the CBO comes from two scorings. A scoring to the CBO is that Congress sends their proposed bill to the CBO and says, score this for us, meaning how much will it cost or save, how many people will be affected. And then they send it back. So they scored the House bill and they scored the original Senate bill. And of course, the news was absolutely dismal. 20 million people are going to lose, and on and on and on and on. The CBO is always wrong. And you can underline and capitalize the term always. Why? It's simply because of the rules established by the Congress, which require the CBO to use static analysis rather than dynamic analysis. The difference is, if you were using dynamic analysis, you would say, if we pass this, it's going to cause a change in behavior of people. That has to be factored in to find the real result of what this is. They are not allowed by law to do this. It doesn't take Albert Einstein to understand that when the price of something rises, fewer people buy it, and when the price of something falls, more people buy it. This particular one is not so much about pricing or supply and demand. This one is about a mandate, which I still feel is unconstitutional. The Obamacare law forced everyone, see, this is where it hits you in the pocketbook, people. They forced everyone to either buy or pay a penalty for not buying. This bill will remove that. So the CBO is required by law set by the Congress to say for every person who is no longer forced to buy it, they will drop it and they won't buy anything else. Now, what kind of an estimate do you think you're going to get from that? It just can't possibly be any good, but they're CBO rules. So when millions of people don't have to buy, but they have a whole marketplace of lesser plans that are affordable, a whole bunch of those people are going to want to be insured because they understand that they can get into a heap of trouble not being insured. They just couldn't afford it the old way. So give them choices, and a lot of them are going to buy. Will it be 20 million people affected? No. Will it be 10? I don't know. Will it be 2? I have absolutely no idea. The one thing I know, CBO is wrong again. The anti-Republican media will pick out those numbers from the CBO that make Trump look bad. So they're all over the 20 million. Only now, here's how they spin it. 20 million people will lose, quote, health care. What they mean is health insurance. What they say is health care. No one in this country has ever denied health care. It is illegal. The emergency room can be fined and closed down. It is not something that happens in this country. We need to understand that words mean things. All right, there are other examples, including tax revenue. Okay, we're going to go through the same thing again when we get to the tax cut part of this thing. Regulations are also the same. The rules as set by Congress do not allow the CBO to do a good job. It's experimenting now with dynamic scoring in their 20-year budgeting. Really? 20 years of budgeting? A weather forecast after 3 days smells like bad fish. Any congressional budget that's out there 10 years is always wrong because it's changed no less than 5 times on the way. What could possibly go wrong? Now, there's something you hear a lot up in D.C. called, we've always done it that way. How many times do we have to listen to, we've always done it that way, which is only promoting the status quo? A better question might be, How many times do we, the people, have to be punished for congressionally mandated inaccuracies? I couldn't find the annual budget of the CBO. I've tried and tried and tried, and I just could not find it. I know it exists out there in cyberspace, but I couldn't find it. But let's say we just shut them down. However big their budget is, would be the quickest savings. But then we could get on to either doing it not at all or doing it right. This will not work. It cannot be changed. There is no congressional will to change it. We have to shut it down. The CBO has to go. A guy can dream, can he?
Yep, sure can. And someone that agrees with you about this is Jamie Dimon. I don't know if you saw that quote this week.
I did see that. Who, for anybody who doesn't know, is the head of J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, Chase. He's rather outspoken. He said this week, "It's almost an embarrassment being an American with all the stupid stuff we have to deal with." Only he used another four-letter word starting with S instead of stuff.
Yes, he did.
And he was talking about government regulations and red tape. So he apparently a lot of people are seeing the same things.
Yep, and as we were talking on the break, we both thought immediately once we saw that headline, because Jamie Dimon is a notorious Democrat, of course, I thought it was going to be all about Trump. It wasn't. It was all about Congress. As I said, almost everything that's wrong with the world can be laid right at the feet of the Congress. It is truly incredible. All right, trivia question still out there. How many consecutive months have Amazon sales gone up and there's no end in sight? All right, we're going to take a little break. We've got a bunch of stuff to do. Adam will tell you more about who we are and what we do after the break. We've got a lot of other topics and hopefully your phone calls, 222-8255. Give us a call. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Lines are open, 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. Trivia question sits out there. How many months in a row have Amazon's online retail sales gone up? This segment is sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. All right, Adam's going to give you a little background on who we really are, what we really do during the week, and that sort of thing. And then he's got some information on a new ETF that I found, as he was describing it to me over the last couple of minutes, quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It is a little ironic, which is the wrap-up I'll give you. But first of all, we are fee-only financial planners. We're located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off of Butler Boulevard, so we're easy to get to from all points in the city. Don't let living on the west side be a deterrent from coming to see us. If you do want to come see us, you can call us at 685-1505 or go to our website, VanWeeFinancial.com, where you'll see a little button that says book a meeting. And with that, you can book your free hour consultation. There's never a charge for that. And even if we decide not to do business, I can promise you, you will leave knowing more than when you came in. So,
and we're both in on these things. We do everything together. No charge to you for that. But you get a little perspective that is based on a generational skip here. So hopefully that'll let you go away with a better overall understanding of why we think like we do.
Definitely.
And by the way, why would you have your financial planner be certified? You want your CPA to be a certified accountant or not?
I would.
Then everybody ought to think the same way about their financial planners.
And we are. So we are. You're in luck. Mm-hmm. Anyways, as I mentioned, there is a new ETF out there. And if you've listened to the show regularly over the last couple of years, you've heard me mention the FANG stocks. This is an acronym for the four best performing large cap tech stocks that led the market in 2015. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google were just about the only stocks that made any money in 2015.
Some people have blown that up to the FAANG and added Apple into it.
Well, Apple hasn't. It hasn't seen any sort of rise like those stocks have.
But it's still like all-time high.
It's done well, territory. But not
like
as well
that.
As these.
You're right.
In fact, in 2015, Facebook rose over 34%, Google over 44%, Amazon over 117%, and Netflix a staggering 134%. So Apple, I think, did about 9 or something like that.
Which on a normal year would say great.
Yeah. I don't quote me on that one. I would have to look it up. But I was looking at it this morning, and it was much, much lower than those.
Funny.
However, that was 2015. Since then, all four of the FANG stocks have continued to rise, but not at the meteoric rate that they rose in 2015. Now, on a somewhat related topic, or not related at all, in investing, one of the most common mistakes that people make is called chasing profits. This means that they see something that has had a big run-up, and then they decide to buy it. Well, unfortunately, many times that's the exact wrong time to buy it, because things that have run up tend to then come back down. And so that is a classic example of buying high and selling low. So one thing you don't want to do is look at historic performance, or especially recent performance, and say, oh, this one has done really well over the last year, I'll buy that.
Well, and trend is your friend, but that's more of a market-based thing rather than an individual stock.
And there absolutely is something called momentum in investing, and certain stocks that are in the middle of a run will continue to run, but that is not the sole determining factor you should use when buying a stock.
No, and if you get something that's appreciating wildly, you ought to learn a little bit about stop losses.
Exactly. So what prompted me to talk about chasing profits and the FANG stocks today was that new ETF by AdvisorShares that trades under the ticker symbol FNG, which is a shortened version of FANG or FANG.
You got to be in a big hurry to shorten a four-letter word.
Right. And so on the surface, when I first got this, I was thinking, well, that's not, what do they do, put 25% in each of the four stocks? And I could do that. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, that was my first comment.
Right, but that's not at all what this is. It's actually an actively managed ETF that invests in technology companies that the manager expects to outperform the broad market, much like the FANG stocks did in 2015. I actually really like the concept, although it doesn't sound a whole lot different than the ETF XT, or Exponential Technologies, that was released a couple years ago. So very similar concept, that what they're trying to do is invest in the next big thing, next big tech thing. So they're buying stocks that they think the companies will produce a technology that will become as big as Facebook.
It'll probably become bought out by.
Right. Exactly.
That's my favorite way to exit anything. Have a big old buyout way above market value.
That is one of my favorite ways to go too. So I just found it really ironic that they decided to use an acronym that is 2 years old to name an ETF that seeks to invest in cutting-edge technology. I hope that their stock picking is a little more up-to-date than their acronym picking, because it just didn't seem to make sense. I would have picked something that was a lot more cutting-edge and new rather than something that was 2 years old.
It caught your attention.
It did, so I give them credit for that, but not for the right reasons necessarily, because it seemed to me like they were chasing profits and trying to invest in those four stocks that have already had big run-ups.
That's a Mae West moment.
I don't know what that is.
There is no bad publicity.
Ah, fair.
Yeah, they got your attention for something good, something bad. They got your attention.
Kind of like the Jacksonville Suns changing to the Jumbo Shrimp.
Exactly.
Oh, what a stupid name. Oh, wait, we're still talking about it. So it must not have been that bad.
And you look at the people they play, the teams they play. They're all getting creative.
Yeah.
But I was just like you. When I first heard that, I thought, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, what a dumb concept.
But, hey.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good concept. I'm going to follow the ETF and see how it does and see what their track record is. And I'll let you know in a few weeks or a few months.
Good. All right, well, I've got a pretty long fuse normally. I'm a pretty steady guy. I had it now. You know, my penchant for headlines and dumb reporting, that kind of thing. This last week, I just got there. It's about a commercial that aired on this station and others, and I don't blame WBOB. You know, somebody wants to run a commercial, it's a free country, as long as they get paid for it, that's fine. But I do blame the bureaucracy of which I've been,
ranting
critical. Yeah, I was trying to be nicer, but you're right, I've been ranting about it. Both federal and state, which fail to pass fiduciary standards in most cases, and then fail to enforce those standards once they do. You heard of the Financial Choice Act?
I'm not sure which one that is.
It is the rollback and replacement of the Dodd-Frank.
Oh yeah, I've heard of
mess.
That. I didn't realize that was the name.
The Dodd-Frank was a congressional reaction, overreaction, of course, to what happened in the financial crisis. So a lot of you will remember my wish list, and it includes whenever two people in Congress put their name on something and pass it, the second they're both gone, it ought to sunset, and then it ought to be brought back up in front of Congress, who could rethink the whole thing. And if they like it, they could rename it and implement it again. If they don't like it, it's gone. This one should be gone. So I'm thinking, when I'm reading about the Financial Choice Act, well, this is a pretty good deal. So I'm reading about all the consumer choices we have in it, getting all these things back, getting rid of the onerous regulations. Because what Dodd-Frank really did was it gave all the power in the world to the big banks, Jamie Dimon's and others. And it took away the ability to even loan money from the smaller regional banks. And this is tragic, because most people, especially small businesses and startups, are not capable of passing all the tests that it takes to get a loan from a big bank. So I'm thinking, well, good, they finally did something. I get over to, this little page right here. And lo and behold, one of the features of the Financial Choice Act, the repeal of the fiduciary rule.
Really? The one that just was implemented a month ago?
Okay, everybody, stare at your radio and get the look on my face. It's called disgust.
That's ridiculous.
You can't make this stuff up. You just can't.
And for those of you that aren't aware of what the fiduciary rule is, it's a rule that we live by and hold ourselves to, and it was recently passed so that all financial advisors have to do the same. And the people that are against it are only against it because of big lobbyists from the big banks who don't want to be held to
that
standard.
They supported it 100%.
And the standard says you have to put your client's best interest ahead of your own, which should, it's just common sense to us.
It's what we do. The other thing, to a lesser extent, the Dodd-Frank bill created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is nothing more than big, heavy government that's thumb on everything that you think, do, or say financially. This does not get rid of it. It does, however, make one little change to it. I'll tell you that right after the break, because we got to run. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And lines are open, 222-8255. That's 222-TALK.
And we have a trivia question out there.
We do have a trivia question.
And if you guess it correctly, you will win a $25 gift certificate to Angie's Grom, which is a breakfast and lunch restaurant out of the beach, and it is excellent. So call in and try and get the answer right.
How many consecutive months has Amazon's online retail sales improvement, I guess, better, each one better than the next? In other words, they're winning every month, even against themselves. They are crushing against everybody else.
They certainly are. Well, except for Walmart, they seem to be holding their own.
Yeah, there's some speculation on how long that's going to, but, you know, it's just that speculation, but they're doing okay. Anyway, I was talking about the Financial Choice Act and how I was so disgusted that it's going to take away the fiduciary rule, and that is disgusting. And they refer to it in this little article I was reading as an Obama-era rule.
Okay.
The fiduciary rule. Obama-era rule.
It just got implemented under Trump.
Yeah.
They did start talking about it during the Obama era.
Yes, which I have not agreed with Obama and Elizabeth Warren at the same time.
On anything.
Ever.
Yeah, except for this one.
This one. But it was also, just to make sure I'm not nuts, it was also Elizabeth Warren who cooked up the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection because she wanted the job so she could run everybody's lives. She is so awful. Oh, they wouldn't give her the job. So she ran for the Senate in Massachusetts, and they gave her the job.
Yep.
Hello. Anyway, this does not get rid of that. But this, one of the weirdest provisions of Dodd-Frank was this Bureau reports not to the Congress or the President, to the Federal Reserve.
Oh, that makes sense. No.
In somebody's world, not mine.
That is really weird.
This changes it. The head of the Bureau will report to the President. And it's always been the President had the power to do the firing on the big guy. And the guy who's in it, I often remember his name. I don't right at the moment. He is an abject disaster. He's a socialist in every respect. But I digress. That wasn't even the story I was telling you. The story I was telling you is about the headline. And the headline was from a website called bankonyourself.com. And it probably blew my lid quicker than anything else when I was listening to this very station. And here's what they promised. Let's see, the market will crash 30 to 40% or more. Well, that's unknowable. And then it got worse. It said they promised their system will surpass, now here, and I've got this in quotations, and I want you to take it this way. It will surpass, quote, any IRA or 401k. Now, I don't know. If I told anybody, on air or off, that our system will beat any IRA or 401k, I would not be doing this job in another 10 minutes.
Well, first of all, that doesn't even make sense, because a 401k and an IRA are simply
vehicles
to hold your investments. They are not the investments themselves.
No.
So it just doesn't even logically make sense.
Okay, so that's the first part of the smell test. Big fail. Their first claim on the website, I did go to the website, of course. They told me to, so I did. It, quote, a 9.94% equivalent annual return with, ready for this one? No market risk. A 9.94% equivalent annual return.
What?
I don't know what equivalent means in annual return, but I do know what no market risk means.
Annuity is what that means.
That's what it means. Or hyper-funded life insurance.
Oh, life insurance.
Which is exactly the same thing, only slightly different. Does that make sense? I'm not sure. Anyway, really, now, they're going to promise you almost 10%. What interest rate environment are we in right now?
Last time I checked, we're between 1 and 1.25%.
So somewhere they're going to find about another 8.5%, 8.75% without taking risk. Now, I've been in this business quite a while. Adam's been in this business quite a while. And we know one thing. When somebody wants to make a larger rate of return, we have to subject them to more market risk.
That's the only way to do it.
There is just no way around this. All right, so let's look at the next one. They have, quote, 160-plus years of positive annual growth.
What?
I'm not making this up. You see why I was upset?
160 years.
Of positive annual growth.
No.
Well, if they're talking about paying interest on a fixed account, sure.
At 9.94% equivalent.
Now, I want to define growth. Is growth compared to inflation? Or is it compared to a diversified portfolio? Is it compared to other people's annuities? What is positive annual growth? I'm not quite sure because they didn't bother to explain that. So they have an illustration in there, and it's just this wonderful chart of rising values. And they selected the date June 2009. For their beginning date.
I wonder why.
Adam's laughing because he knows what happened in March of 2009 when the market was at an all-time low for my lifetime. It had just gone through the 18 months of the biggest bear market since the big crash. And it abruptly ended on the 9th of March 2009. So they picked this up in June. Now, is there some reason that they picked it up in June? Well, I don't know. Then the chart abruptly ends after 2012. But this is 2017. Yeah. What happened to the next 4 years?
Well, there were a few not so great years in there. Like 2015 that I was talking about earlier was not a great year.
That's right. Well, look a little deeper. The chart is not a chart of their investment, but it's a personal net worth chart of an individual. I am not making this up.
Just a guy they picked?
Apparently somebody that does business with him. So his apples and my oranges are being compared and correlated or whatever. And it didn't say this was his only investment. It said this was his net worth. Was he working? Was he earning money? Was he saving? Did he have market investments? Did he own a house? Any of those things? I don't know. Is it relevant? I do know. Of course it's relevant. Then they explain that Wall Street has lost more than 49% of the typical investor's money twice just since year 2000. But in that time frame, that little tiny time frame, the S&P 500 index was up 66.8%, not counting dividends. They then point out that the typical investor has only $111,000 in retirement accounts, which at best is good for $500 a month. And that is relevant. How? Why?
I also like how they point out the two drops in Wall Street, but then their illustration doesn't contain the years in which those drops occurred.
It's a miracle. All right, now let's move on. And then we're told that Wall Street, and you can bypass Wall Street and beat the banks at their own game. What's the bank's own game?
Lending money, usually.
Bank on Yourself then reveals that the, quote, investment they use is dividend-paying whole life insurance.
Oh, I'm shocked.
I am just stunned. Be still my foolish heart. But, of course, it's not just any life insurance. It's the so-called secret 770 account life insurance that presidents use to get wealthy.
Oh, is that how they did it?
Mm-hmm.
Those presidents.
But it's not a secret. There's nothing secret about a 770 account. It's an aspect of the tax code. You can read about it anywhere. It's a life insurance contract, nothing more. You borrow from your own life insurance contract, tax-free because it's a loan. And if you pay it back, you're paying yourself back. Is that mysterious? No, it's been going on my whole lifetime. I've had several loans against life insurance when I was younger. There are a lot of people, thank goodness, who have debunked this. And there are a lot of, if you Google it or Bing it or anything, you'll find a lot of them. But I promise you, if a CFP ever made claims like this, they would be gone. My hope is that with the repeal of Obamacare and all that stuff, there will be more controls placed on this industry. It's a pure coincidence, and it truly is, that the founder of Bank on Yourself has the last name Yellen. That was just a little aside.
So the head of the CFPB is Richard Cordray.
Cordray. Cordray is, if you look him up, and you're not going to like what you read.
He is a Democrat. That's the first thing it says in his bio.
Yeah, big one. Amazon has beaten their own sales record 24 months in a row. 13 was the prior record for anything, and that was a small little segment. 5 is a big run. This is an astounding record, people. It might be broken after next month. That's my speculation.
I bet it is.
Yeah, because I think their Prime Day was so big. All right, we'll let you know. See you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.